This is the Adventist World Radio, and you are listening to The Voice of Hope. For more information, please feel free to write to us. Our email address is bible@awr.org, or you could also call us on WhatsApp at +1 224 222 0777.
Hello, and welcome to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Dr. Adrian Peterson, and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson, and produced in the studios of WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. I'm Jeff White. This is edition NWS 792 for release on Sunday, April 28, 2024. On WaveScan today, the Tangier International Zone, Part 2, our Adrian Peterson interview, Part 4, and first details about the 2024 NASB annual meeting in Canada. Two weeks ago, Ray Robinson began the story of radio broadcasting in the Tangier International Zone, an area of 155 square miles around the city of Tangier in northwest Africa that was administered jointly by France, Spain, and the United Kingdom from 1925 to 1940, and then again after the war by those three countries, plus the United States from 1945 to 1956. We got up to about 1947 with the establishment by Herbert Southworth of the anti-Franco station Radio Tangier International, and by Jacques Tremoulet of the pro-Franco station Radio Africa. Here's Ray to continue the story.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, as you mentioned, the United States participated in the Committee of Control that governed the Tangier International Zone after the war, and they became increasingly concerned about growing Soviet influence in the city. Remember, this was now at the start of the Cold War, and Tangier fast became a hotbed of intrigue and a base for international spies. To counter communist propaganda in Europe, the United States set up a Voice of America relay station in Tangier in 1949. This initially used a single 50 kilowatt transmitter operating on 6060 kHz and various frequencies in the 41, 31, 25 and 19 meter bands. Also in 1949, Radio Tangier International changed shortwave frequency to 6110 kHz, just up the dial from the VOA on 6060 kHz. And in 1950, they announced that both their medium wave and shortwave transmitters would soon be upgraded to 50 kilowatts each. And further in 1949, yet another station first appeared, Pan American Radio, with an address at British Post Office Box 49 in Tangier. They had a 5 kilowatt transmitter operating on 7400 and 15050 kHz shortwave, carrying programming of economical and financial news and American music, mostly jazz. In 1950, Radio Africa added a medium-wave transmitter with 5 kilowatts on 332 meters, 903 kHz, and also replaced their 1 kilowatt shortwave transmitter with a new 10 kilowatt unit on 7100 kHz. The following year, they increased power on medium-wave to 20 kilowatts and introduced a second medium-wave transmitter on 438 meters, 685 kHz. Likewise, in 1951, Radio Tangier International introduced a second medium-wave transmitter on 278 meters, 1079 kHz, and not to be outdone, Pan American Radio added a 5-kilowatt medium-wave transmitter on 522 meters, 575 kHz, to supplement their shortwave transmissions. And that same year, 1951, the Voice of America relay station was considerably upgraded, with four 100 kilowatt and two 50 kilowatt shortwave transmitters now operating 24 hours a day. In 1952, Radio Africa added a second medium wave unit and split their programming into two commercial streams. There was Radio Africa Maghreb, Maghreb being the colonial era Arabic name for coastal North Africa. That was on 314 meters, 953 kilohertz medium wave and 7193 kilohertz shortwave. And Radio Africa Tangier on 439 meters, 683 kilohertz medium wave and 6020 kilohertz shortwave. It was in 1954 that Radio Africa Tangier started carrying the daily program for Gibraltar from 4 to 4:45 p.m. each afternoon under the name Radio Africa Gibraltar. Pan American Radio moved their medium wave outlet first to 254 meters, 1175 kHz, and then to 266 meters, 1128 kHz, and their shortwave outlets to 7290 and 14500 kHz. Interestingly, they also started relaying news from both the BBC and the Voice of America, which otherwise was not heard on medium wave. Meanwhile, the original Radio Tangier International did indeed upgrade their medium wave transmitter on 244 meters, 1232 kHz, to 50 kilowatts, and they went even further, also implementing a second program stream. Radio Tangier International was on 1232 and 6110 kHz, and a new service, just Radio Tangier, was on 278 meters, 1079 kHz, using the old 10 kilowatt unit, and also on 6025 kHz shortwave. And it was on this second stream of Radio Tangier in October 1954 that Dr. Ralph Freed initially bought time to launch a new Christian religious service called the Voice of Tangier, which, as we will see subsequently, grew into Trans World Radio. Dr. Freed was alarmed at the anti-Protestant restrictions against evangelistic activities that had been introduced by the Franco regime in Spain, and he was naturally drawn to Herbert Southworth Station as the platform on which to launch the Voice of Tangier. The original vision for the station was to evangelize Spain. A 2.5 kilowatt US Army surplus transmitter was used on 6025 kHz in the afternoons and 7175 or 9490 kHz in the evenings, with programming in Spanish and English, and the response from listeners in Spain was indeed very encouraging. In the summer of 1955, programs in Portuguese, French, Czech and German were added. The expansion continued considerably over the next few years, and by 1958, the Voice of Tangier had two 10-kilowatt shortwave transmitters of its own, broadcasting evangelical Christian programming in 26 languages, with curtain antennas on five different beams to various parts of Europe, the Middle East and North Africa. In English, they carried programs such as the Back to God Hour, Radio Bible Class, Billy Graham's Hour of Decision, and Back to the Bible, primarily targeting listeners in the British Isles. In 1955, they'd been joined over on Radio Africa Tangier by Ibra Radio from Sweden, who bought the airtime each evening from when the Gibraltar program ended at 4:45 p.m. until 10 p.m. for religious programming in Swedish, English, Finnish, French, Dutch, German, Danish and Norwegian. However, the winds of change were in the air. In 1956, Morocco gained full independence from both France and Spain, and the protectorates came to an end, as did the Tangier International Zone. Tangier was granted special economic status for a few more years, but eventually the commercial radio stations were required to close and all broadcasting in the country was nationalised in 1960. So where did Dr. Ralph Freed go next? That'll be our topic here in Wavescan next week. Back to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Ray. During the past 3 weeks, we've been bringing you a conversation that we had with Adrian Peterson, the founder of Wavescan, at his home in the Indianapolis, Indiana area in the Midwestern United States. Adrian told us about his early involvement in shortwave radio, his founding and work at Adventist World Radio Asia, and his over 50,000 QSL card collection, among other things. Today, we conclude our talk with Adrian. So now you're going to be taking kind of a semi-retirement, but you will continue providing some material for Wavescan, right?
Yes. Ray Robinson came across a whole collection of articles that I wrote on radio history, enough to provide information for Wavescan into the new year. So he's sort of organizing that And I have agreed that, yes, I will still write some more, but it won't be on a weekly basis. It will be as I can finish it, then I'll pass it on. And then Ray and you yourself can compile these, intermingling with the others that are available, you know, as the information becomes available that way. I have a lot of radio information that is not well known in the international radio world. And I have discovered that by collecting all of the paper information over the past half a century or more, that I have amassed some information that needs to be sorted out and presented. Otherwise, it will never be used. And I'm trying to get a lot of that available onto wave scan this way, and then the scripts they're sent out each week, and that some of those are reprinted in radio magazines around the world, probably in about 20 different languages altogether. And anybody and everybody is welcome to reprint, translate, so that the historic information is not lost. And I've got to work out yet what to do with 50,000 or 100,000 curacels. Yes, they need to be preserved. And all of the tangible historic information that is on paper, so that it is not lost, but it needs to be organized and retained and maintained.
And as for Wavescan, it will continue then indefinitely.
Yes, I am grateful for the fact that Adventist World Radio wishes to Wavescan to continue, and so they still would broadcast it from KSDA on the island of Guam, and on their relay stations that happen to be carrying Wavescan according to their scheduling, whether they're in Europe or Sri Lanka or wherever they are. And then you are broadcasting Wavescan from WRMI. Ray is still on the air from the two transmitters in Africa, and AWR, of course, with the relay stations, and then with the service, shortwave service in continental Europe. That is carrying the wave scan there. So,
and WWCR.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. and so therefore, and then the scripts get sent out for reproduction in any languages that they want, so that, as I say, the information will not be lost. It'll be preserved in many different ways around the world. And the radio historian in the East Coast,
Jerry Berg.
Jerry Berg, thank you. He has been putting the Wavescan scripts into his email combination collection, so that has made them available to many different people that way. Mm-hmm. And as I say, there is no embargo on any of these, no copyright. If anybody wants it, they're welcome to have it to preserve it.
Well, Adrian, we could talk for hours, I know. Unfortunately, I have to catch an airplane back to Florida. but thank you very much for showing us the facilities here and for speaking with us. And we'll continue our work in the future.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you come, Jeff. Your visit is short, but I know it was a crowded weekend. And I'm grateful that you came. And it's nice to see Thais again and to meet your sister for the first time. So, again, I appreciate the radio friendship this way. You and I have associated in these things as long as I can remember.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
your service in WRMI now on a worldwide basis, it's an excellent situation. So thank you for coming. Nice to see you again, and nice to see you visit Thais again, and thank you for bringing your sister. Do you have any other family members you can bring?
No more siblings anyway.
Okay.
Thank you for your hospitality, Adrian. Bye-bye.
Okay.
And that was the final part of our interview with AWR's Adrian Peterson, the founder of Wavescan and its predecessor, Radio Monitors International. Adrian continues to contribute to this program on a regular basis. Last week on WaveScan, we told you about the Winter SWL Fest that will be taking place in spring this year, May 10th and 11th, near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the U.S. Another shortwave meeting will happen on July 22nd and 23rd in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, not too far from Toronto and very close to Niagara Falls, which is on the border between Canada and the U.S. state of New York. This meeting in Hamilton, Ontario, is the 2024 annual meeting of the National Association of Shortwave Broadcasters, NASB. The NASB is the association of privately owned shortwave radio stations in the United States, but anyone with an interest in shortwave radio, and especially shortwave listeners, are very welcome to attend. Galcom International, which makes fixed-tuned, solar-powered shortwave receivers, will be hosting the 2024 NASB annual meeting at their headquarters building in Hamilton. You can find complete details on the NASB website, which is www.shortwave.org. Just click on Annual Meeting Info. Here's a look at the tentative agenda for the NASB meeting. On Sunday, July 21st, most people will be arriving in Hamilton, and they can get together informally at the hotel. On Monday, July 22nd, at 9 a.m., welcome remarks and a tour of the Galcom factory, the first presentations. At 10 a.m., the first presentation will be Shortwave Programming Matters, a talk by Ontario resident Fred Waterer, a longtime editor of the Shortwave Listener column in the Spectrum Monitor magazine. At 12 noon, there will be a break for lunch, and at 1 o'clock, more presentations until the end of the afternoon at 5 o'clock. Then at 7 p.m., there will be a group dinner for everyone in attendance in Hamilton. On Tuesday, July 23rd, presentations will begin at 9 a.m., and at 11 o'clock, there will be a brief NASB business meeting before the lunch break. And after lunch, we're looking at a tour to Niagara Falls, dinner in Niagara Falls, and then arrival back in Hamilton by around 8 p.m. Other speakers and activities will be added to the schedule as they become confirmed. There's no charge to attend the NASB 2024 annual meeting. You just need to pay your own transportation and accommodation costs. The lunches and a group dinner are included free of charge. Hotel details will be added to the webpage very soon. Galcom is in the process of reserving a block of rooms for the group at a nearby hotel. Again, the NASB website is www.shortwave.org. Then click on Annual Meeting Info. Earlier in the program, we heard from Adrian Peterson of Adventist World Radio. Another very well-known name in the world of DXing and shortwave radio is Wolf Harant. And Wolf, like Adrian Peterson, was an avid collector of QSL cards, as you'll hear in the following segment. Wolf passed away in 2021, just 2 weeks away from his 80th birthday. Jonathan Marks, producer of the now-defunct Media Network program on Radio Netherlands, used to work with Wolf Harant at Radio Austria International. He published a video to explain the important work that Wolf Harant did both for the golden age of international broadcasting as well as the SWLDX and ham radio communities. Today we present part of that recording to celebrate, as Jonathan said, a wonderful person, a talented author, and a true friend of radio.
I owe a lot to the city of Vienna and to the Austrian Shortwave Service for my start in broadcasting. In February 1974, I took part in a quiz that was running on the English service.
ORF test 74.
You had to answer one question a day for a month. I did, and I won first prize. A week in Vienna, courtesy of the Austrian Tourist Board. I went with my father, and it was truly wonderful. It was also where I decided that broadcasting sounded like a very interesting career. So in 1976, I wrote to David Hermges, head of the Austrian Radio's English department, and suggested I'd like to spend a gap year in Austria after leaving secondary school. I was too young to be taken seriously by the BBC. But David replied that if I found my own way to Vienna, there might be some broadcast freelance work to be had. I should brush up on my schoolboy German. So I spent £29 on a one-way ticket from London to Vienna and found lodgings on the Hansa-Nieser-Weg in the 13th district. It was a five-minute walk to work at the ORF Centrum just up the hill. In 1976, the shortwave studios used to be here. I survived on writing pieces for Report from Austria and for a programme on Sundays called Austrian Shortwave Panorama. In 1976, I also met with Wolf Harrant, at that time the editor of the German language programme Kurzwellen Panorama. So began a lifelong friendship. Fast forward now to the 2nd of September 2009. Austrian Radio's shortwave service in English has long since gone, and Wolf is now leading the world's largest radio documentation project. It's in a building across the road from the ORF Funkhaus on the Argentinerstrasse in downtown Vienna. And we have an invitation to visit.
Well, welcome to the Documentary Archives Radio Commentation. Come in and have a look. There is something written on our doorstep that you might have translated. Whatever you will find here wouldn't be here any longer if it wasn't here. It is just two generations that experience immediately what happens. Everything else is just remembering. Come in.
Wow.
This is our playground. The whole wild world is our playground. And what you will find here is a couple of awards and documents. We don't put them up here to boast with them. We simply haven't got the room to store all those 20, 30, 40,000 diplomas.
And these were for what, contests or for?
This is membership diplomas, contests. It's amateur radio. It's broadcasting. It's immediately after the war. It's easy. It's difficult. It's just war. Just decorations.
It's actually a celebration of people having fun. And being curious about what's happening in the
always, restaurant. It's always great fun. It's always great fun to. To listen to the radio, to transmit yourself, to listen to amateur radio. Communications is fun. Sometimes it's sad, but it's sad fun at that time. Come in. Well, this is a very, 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 very small part of our QSL card collection. We have about 7.5 million cards now. Now means this is the 2nd of September 19. Now, 2009, we will have about 100,000 more next month or so. These are amateur radio cards being donated, and we have to go through them card by card by card by card to find out which ones we need for particular collections. And what we need is being kept here, and all the rest is being stored forever and a day.
Okay, so I mean,
that's just a trash.
Okay,
a trash of today, and this is a trash of yesterday.
Okay,
and it's the treasure of today. It's pre-war cards, and you wouldn't find another collection like this one anywhere else. In the whole wild world.
So this is a record of communication that's happened pre-war.
Pre-war communication.
Between
22 and 45. So, trash of today, treasure of tomorrow, and at the same time, it is research stuff. It doesn't mean much. You don't see much. If you just see files and files and files of documents. These two rows of documents took 2 years of research, and they will save years and years and years of research for students. It's the extract of 52 kilometers of documents to collect whatever is there of importance concerning Austrian media. Let me give you another example. Behind us are about 250,000 cards from the German Democratic Republic. Everybody worked GDR. Everybody worked GDR. I invite you now to try to get hold to a radio amateur from the German Democratic Republic. It doesn't exist any longer. It's past. It's history. More than that, this used to be a country very eager to be number one worldwide, say, in sports and other achievements. And, of course, they also wanted to be number one in radio sports. The problem is they didn't want their people to transmit on the air without any control. So how can you be number one and at the same time restrict? A very, very difficult system of controlling and checking and spies and collaborators and lists and whatever you have. Trying to find out what was officially being published and who did what to control amateurs, how the whole system worked, how radio amateurs were used for other purposes, for state security or whatever there is, that's part of our research. And we need those cards in addition to all the files we get from the official archives and all the recordings and stuff we get from the individual persons. We have about 1,500 bequests and estates and donations from all over the world. We are by far the largest collection, and don't be misled by these cards, of all kinds of documentation related to the history and development of radio communication, amateur radio broadcasts, whatever you have.
And that was the first part of the audio from a video that was prepared by Jonathan Marks of Media Network Vintage Vault. We'll have more of it on an upcoming program. We end Wavescan today with more music from Morocco. Thanks for listening to Wavescan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. Next week, our main feature on the program is Trans World Radio Monte Carlo. We'll also have Yukiko Tsuji's report from Japan. Wavescan is heard weekly on KSDA in Guam, AWR relays in various locations, WRMI in Florida, WWCR in Tennessee, Voice of Hope Africa in Zambia, and IRRS Italy. Send reception reports directly to the station you're listening to. Reports for KSDA and other AWR sites should go to qsl@awr.org. Other correspondence, not reception reports, can be sent to wavescan@yahoo.com. I'm Jeff White at WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. Till next week, good listening, everyone.
This is the Adventist World Radio, and you are listening to The Voice of Hope. For more information, please feel free to write to us. Our email address is bible@awr.org. Or you could also call us on WhatsApp at +1 224 222 0777.